What's up, world? My name is Walter Gaynor II, and on today's episode, we have a special guest. She's an award-winning journalist, and she's hosting a new show called Black Land from the Black Information Network. Her name is Vanessa Tyler. I'm so excited to share this episode because we get to peel back the layers of her career and learn about the powerful narratives that she's bringing with Black Land. I'm so excited for you all to hear about this, so let's go ahead and get this show started right now. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really excited. I remember when I first heard about the show launching, and I was excited because I was like, okay, wow, this is a pretty big deal. You know, a big company putting a huge spotlight on our community, stories from the past and present, just how it shapes everything. So I was just excited. And then when the episodes came out, was not disappointed. I think very well produced, well done. And it just gave me so many more questions. Like, man, what all went into this? But I think before just diving into the show, I got to know about the host and about your own journey. Emmy award-winning host, Vanessa Tyler.
Yeah.
So let's take it back to the beginning. What inspired you to pursue a career in journalism?
Walter, I wanted to be a television news reporter ever since I was 11.
Oh, yeah?
I was 11 years old, I would be a television news reporter. And that's all I ever wanted to do. And I did for many years. I've done television. That's where I won my Emmy nominations and all of that. And this is the first time when I came over to the Black Information Network, which is, you know, the producer of the podcast, along, of course, with iHeart, all under iHeart's umbrella. That's when I started doing radio. I've always been a storyteller. Oh, in elementary school, I used to win essay contests. I love writing. So it was almost a natural fit for me. I couldn't think of what else I would do if I wasn't doing news, interviewing people, producing stories. So when I got the opportunity to do this podcast, it fit right in.
Oh, wow. 11-year-old practicing in the mirror, then winning essay. Okay, so you were meant for this. You found your passion, huh?
Yes, I was built for this. Yeah.
Built for this. I like that.
Seriously. And I always knew that's what I would do. I admired a lot of the anchors at the time. I'm from New York, Harlem, New York, specifically. And there was an anchor on one of the local stations here that I really admired. So I said, you know, I want to do that. And I knew as a child that's what I wanted to do.
I love that. So can you tell us, your career is amazing, but winning an Emmy, you know, that's no little thing. That's no little. Yeah. How did it feel to win that? I mean, you're someone who's known from the get-go that you wanted to be a reporter, a TV host, and then you actually get to win an Emmy. Like, how did that feel?
It was great. I've of course been nominated many times. So you've heard those stories before. So, you know, I thought, you know, when I went, oh, you know, another nominee, you know, I knew what once you go to the events, you know, you're nominated. So I thought, oh, it was great to be nominated. But when they called my name, it was really great, especially for the story for which I won, which was about drug use among young people. This particular young man, had a heroin overdose. He didn't die, but his life was severely affected. He lost oxygen to his brain. And so really the focus of the piece was on his mother, who would take him around the country to schools, almost like a scared straight. And he would be in his wheelchair. He would have to learn everything over again. He just was paralyzed. So basically she was showing young people from one night, this is what can happen to you by just doing drugs. So that's the piece for which I won the Emmy, actually. But I've been nominated many times. It was great. It was great. It's great to have it because it does mean a milestone in a career to have that award. So it was great.
Absolutely. And for something to win that's so community driven, like really about the real people who end up watching news all the time, but you're focusing on something that can help to elevate people's stories and bring about some positive change. I know that felt good too.
Yeah, it did, Walt. It really did. It really did. It was a great night. It's always a lot of fun. You get dressed up and you go and you hang out. But yeah, no, it was pretty good. And I just feel that stories about people, about their lives, about what they're going through, those are stories that need to come out because we can all learn from them. And so that you know, kind of ties into what I'm doing now. I tell you, life is full circle. You just never know. And this is a part of it.
Mm. So, yeah, full circle for real. I feel like you really are the perfect person to be the host for this show. Can you tell us a little bit about how this show came to be? Did you get a call one night while, you know, making spaghetti? And then it's like, oh, yes, absolutely. How did that go?
Well, you know, we had talked about we, meaning the executives at the Black Information Network, about doing podcasts along with our regular news shows, just to, for your audience. If you're not familiar with the Black Information Network, we are a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week news operation, and it's staffed by Black journalists telling stories of interest to Black people. So we always knew that we would do podcasts, you know, under that umbrella. And I always expressed an interest to my bosses, Tony Coles, Chris Thompson, all the executives, that I wanted to do a podcast. And so they said, you know, we're going to pursue it. We're going to do it. And so then they said, well, give me some ideas of what you would like to do. And so I did. I told them I just want to do a set of stories about Black people, what they're doing, their joys, their sorrows, the pain, the joy, you know, that whole thing, just Black land, where we stand, who we are. And they said, okay, well, you know, we'll keep that in mind. And so then a long time passed, and that finally I got the call that they were going to do it. And they were like, oh, can you put something together? I said, sure, get tons of ideas that I could put together. And that's basically how it started. And of course, you know, everything is pre and post COVID. That's how we live now, right?
Right.
So it was, you know, obviously after COVID that we went ahead and really started pursuing it. And then we put it up. I think we're like 5 episodes in. So this is really new. And I'm really excited. And I'm hoping that people will stick with me as I tell more stories and as we go forward.
Just the beginning.
It's brand new. It's brand new. Like, I think, like I said, we've got 5 episodes up. 5.
Oh, yeah.
We're not even at the 100 mark yet.
Yeah, and it really is incredible. I like that you are telling stories and bringing voices. So it's not just your voice, but voices with people who are still alive, kind of carrying on legacies, or can speak to what was going on to add additional context. So it's not just a, you know, an interview podcast, but a true, like, this is the story that ties back to this point in time. It still impacts us today. I'm kind of curious.
And I love that you said that, because that's exactly what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just do my own chatting. And I do love that. But I wanted to let people tell their stories. And I wanted to be, you know, a mechanism for them to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like you brought your talents, because I think, you know, all these different shows, whether it's podcasts, radio, TV, there's like a kind of skill set that exists in each one. And it's like you brought this skill set to another medium to kind of create this whole new experience. Because like you said, because I love interview shows, you kind of brought us something that felt a little new, familiar and new at the same time. And I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for recognizing that, because that's exactly what I wanted. And I think you put it so well, that, you know, I wanted to bring in, it's just like we're watching a news story, but more than that, like almost we're listening to a documentary. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to have that kind of element, but I wanted some storytelling as well, and a little more entertainment, you know, because sometimes you just want to get a little more behind the scenes than a news story can bring. I know for a fact, news stories are very short. People don't realize how really short they are. But when you have, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes to tell a story, that's perfect. That's really my sweet spot as well.
Did you find any challenge with making that change, since it is such a longer episodes or longer story?
That's funny. I felt the challenge the other way, making them shorter. More problem making them longer.
So you're like, finally, let's go. And we can do this.
Finally, I can tell and not have to cut the sound bite, because a news story, the average television news story is about 125, and even shorter. And when we do it in radio, I mean, we have to really, you know, tell these stories in like 30 seconds. So I know that sounds short, but it can be done, and if done effectively. But the luxury of having a time to do it is even better for me.
I love that. So let's dig into some of these stories a little bit more. Can you share one story? It could be something that's already out or yet to come that really just kind of touched you personally, that you just feel really attached to.
Yeah. I recently did a story, and in fact, it's up now. Part one is up about a gentleman who was in prison for 31 years for a crime he didn't do. And the reason I wanted to do that story about Ricky Godfrey is because it's a story that I don't know how many times we've been telling this story about people who have been wrongly incarcerated. And a lot of these innocence projects kind of things where, you know, people would go and tell their story and they would have somebody research it and find the people, or maybe find that the people were coerced or find that the cops set them up. You know, those stories are real. And his was the same with the, you know, officers not really digging, officers not really giving, investigators really giving his attorneys, you know, information that they have uncovered. Witnesses who say they were coerced into saying that this person was there. I mean, the stories are just out there. So he was one of them. And the reason I really like talking with him is that he was just released when we chatted. So he was, you know, just kind of basically getting used to being out, getting used to smelling the fresh air of freedom, as I put it in the piece. His first stop, when he got out, he went to the beach with his wife. You know, could you imagine having to, you know, smell that fresh air, to walk on the sand? You know, it's stale inside of prisons and jails. And the sound, he said one of the things that he couldn't get used to is always noisy inside. There's no silence. Somebody's always screaming. There's always, you know, static. There's always something going on. There's no peace. And just to have that. So I really love that. I also spoke with a woman who was diagnosed with HIV. And the piece was Black women and HIV, because a lot of people probably think HIV, you know, like COVID, has kind of gone away. You know, people don't realize it's still a thing. But there are drugs that can prevent you from getting it. But for some reason, Black women aren't getting the message. Gay men have the message. That's why you don't hear it as much. But there are drugs that you can take. And unfortunately for a lot of Black women, they are finding out that they are HIV positive after they're pregnant, become pregnant, because you're required to get an HIV test when you're pregnant. So that's how come a lot of them are learning that, oh, wow, I'm HIV positive. So this woman has taken it on herself to go around and educate women in the rural South about HIV and AIDS. And I found that story compelling as well. So we've done a number of different pieces that, and another number of pieces to come. What's coming up next down the pike is a woman who was trafficked in human trafficking. And she tells her story. But what's interesting about her piece is that sometimes these victims are right under our noses. They're in our neighborhoods, like they're in houses, you know, chained up and locked up and forced to perform these sexual acts and sell their bodies. And we may not even know it. And these are Black people living in Black neighborhoods. You know what I mean? And we just really have to keep our eyes open for all people who may be in trouble. So there are a lot of different pieces that really need to be highlighted. And I hope we can talk about, and hopefully there'll be changes as a result.
I think all the changes start with, you know, people like yourself who are bringing some more of these stories out and sharing them in such a relatable way that we could all connect to. So yes. I see that happen. Thanks for being that first domino, or at least the next domino in the whole trail. So I love everything that you're doing and shining a light on some real struggles that, if, you know, people themselves aren't experiencing firsthand, I'm sure they know someone who is. Right. And what I also love is that you're kind of celebrating the triumphs as well. So it's a whole balance between the shows. You're truly capturing the, you know, the experience to be Black in this land. So it really is incredible. Is there anything else that you would like to share with people about kind of the show or what's next? Is that something we could keep an eye out for?
Oh, yeah, definitely stay tuned, as they say. But I also wanted to just pick up what you just said about the joys, because we are joyful people and we have a lot of things to celebrate. And I don't want to always point out we have a lot of things that need to be changed as well. So, but I don't always want to point out the sadness. I want to point out the joy. I want to point out the history. That one of the pieces I did was Run to Harvard, which is about the Stroud family, which is like a historical piece back in the 1920s, how his run to be in the Olympic trials and how what he did to make it there. And so it shows the strength of human capacity, how we don't give up. And the story is told by his grandnephew, who just came upon the story of his ancestors. That's a whole nother story about how we have such a great history that we have yet to learn even to this day. So, yes, those are the kind of pieces that I look forward to doing, and you will see more of. Yes.
I love it. That was actually the first episode I listened to. Incredible. Thank you so much for your time. Where can everyone follow you and the show?
Well, certainly Black Land can be listened to on the free iHeartRadio app. So download that and look for Black Land. We put up a new episode every Friday, so do listen. And you can listen to me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Black Information Network. And that, too, you can get on the iHeartRadio app or BINnews.com and listen to that as well.
Love it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's great being with you and great talking with you.
All right. That is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you liked it, make sure you leave us a rating or review. Really just helps other people who are checking this show out figure out if they want to listen or not. Also, of course, if you enjoyed today's episode, enjoyed hearing about Vanessa Tyler and her podcast, go ahead and check the show out. It's on all the podcast players, of course, iHeartRadio app, and wherever you're listening to this, you'll find it there too. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace.